Australia is here. We'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG and health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim, Sindown, Naman, Australia, and PNG.
The 25th of April, Anzac Day, is one of Australia's most important national days, a time for Australians to remember the fallen. Hello and welcome to AHC On Air. I'm your host, Gregor Vera. This month on the program, we bring to you the Anzac Day commemorative service and join those in Australia, New Zealand and across the world, including Papua New Guinea, to pay respect to those who have served and the current servicemen and servicewomen of Australia and New Zealand. Also on the program, we will hear about the ongoing community-focused programs and other initiatives carried out between the PNG Australia Partnership, National Museum and Art Gallery, and the Kokoda Trek Authority along the iconic Kokoda Trek region. First up, we're joined by Lieutenant Colonel John Litley, the Deputy Head of Australian Defence Staff in Papua New Guinea. Hi John, and welcome to the program. To start, can you give us a brief introduction of yourself?
So my name is Lieutenant Colonel John Leithley. I'm currently the Deputy Head of Australian Defence Staff here in PNG at the Australian High Commission.
Thank you, John. This year, after almost 2 years, Anzac Day services were allowed to be held publicly. Can you tell us the significance of commemorating this important day?
Sure. So the significance of Anzac Day, in my view, is really to get people to come together to commemorate Anzac Day. Not only does it signify the landings at Gallipoli, but it also acknowledges the sacrifice of all current and former serving personnel who've really made the ultimate sacrifice and died in conflict or died in service. It also enables us to re-engage with our allies and friends from other nations who have served with us, and enables us to reflect on our service together and to continue our relationships into the future.
Apart from the Dawn service at Bomana, several other sites throughout the country also held commemorative services. Can you give us an overview of how the ceremony stand out?
So it was really exciting. We haven't held a large-scale Dawn service in Papua New Guinea since, I believe, 2019. So the elements of the Australian Defence Staff were really excited to head out to the regions to be able to put on a Dawn service, and most of them followed up with a gunfire breakfast, which was excellent. So we had around about 13 Dawn services occur throughout PNG, from Wewak to Lae. We headed over to Bubil, Bulolal, obviously here in Port Moresby as well, at Bamana, Isharaba, Alatau, Popondetta, Kimbay. We held a closed service out in Buka, and we also had attendees out at Rabaul, Manus and Madang. Numbers varied from around about 100. I believe we hit about 1,000 at Bamana, and then we had really intimate ceremonies in other locations, which held about 10 to 15 people. So we were out in those locations. We were supported by the local community. All the services were really well put together by the people of the community as well as defence personnel. And it was really good to see that finally we've got to that stage where we can hold these activities. So it was really, really good.
This year also marks the 88th anniversary of the Kokoda campaign. Can you tell us how important this campaign was and also how this has fostered the relationships between Papua New Guinea and Australia to date?
So a very important period in time coming up with the 80th anniversary for Kokoda. And in my mind, it was really through this Kokoda campaign that the Australians and the Papua New Guineans cemented their dedication to each other. The harsh conflict, the intense fighting, and the dedication to each other during the campaign is a testament to our relationship that we have with each other today. Our friendship remains very strong, and I believe that it's through this shared experience of the Kokoda campaign that we continue to work closely with both, with the PNGDF. We help them and they help us, and we have this this relationship that enables us to progress through the tough times. And we have a shared understanding that has stemmed from our experiences together. So the importance of that campaign really this year will be put front and centre for some activities that we're hoping to achieve later in the year. But it also shines through on the sort of day-to-day interaction we have with the PNGDF, and we're looking forward to signifying the event.
Thank you, John.
That's great. It's been a pleasure talking with you today, and thank you very much for the opportunity.
Listeners, we have just heard from Lieutenant Colonel John Litley, the Deputy Head of Australian Defence Staff in Papua New Guinea, who spoke to us about the significance of Anzac Day and the various commemorations that were held throughout the country. The Returned and Services League of Australia, or RSL, is a support organisation for people who have served or are serving in the Australian Defence Force. Apart from advocating for benefits, treatment and the welfare of ex-service and serving members of the Australian Defence Force, the RSL also takes lead in commemorative services both in Australia and abroad. My colleague Franklin Colmer caught up with the Vice President of the Port Moresby RSL sub-branch, Brian Waring, and had this interview.
Okay, our first question is an overview of the RSL. You could just give a general...
Sure, so the RSL is a charity that supports veterans' well-being and their livelihood after they get out. So if they get injured in war or something like that, we contribute to getting them sorted out. It's a bit like Legacy in the space, but it's also a charity. In PNG, it's a little bit different because we've also got a educational trust. So all the money that we raise throughout the year, we've got currently we've got 18 kids in school and university that we're putting through. So it's a not-for-profit organisation, fully run by volunteers. So it's and it's predominantly run by ex-military personnel, but not solely.
And so they've now been open after 2 years of it being an exclusive thing.
Sure.
How is that?
Yeah, look, it was spectacular. We haven't done a proper Anzac Day service of Amana since 2019. We were overwhelmed. We thought it might have been a bit quiet. We had just over 2,000 people in attendance this morning. The last 2 years, we've obviously done a commemoration and celebration, but not to the extent to the public. We were overwhelmed by the attendance, certainly the enthusiasm of the people in the crowd. It was really nice. In fact, if I could be totally honest, it was a bit intimidating when the sun came up and I was looking over the lectern and I was going, gee, I didn't realise that many people there. So it was quite nice.
That's pretty much it. Do you have any commemorative message you'd like to give?
Anzac Day is a celebration as much as commemoration. So. So we can sort of hear in the background now that the Pipes and Drums Band, it's one of the best, most important things about Anzac Day is not only commemorate the sacrifice of the fallen, but also to celebrate the day. It's generational. If people have a good day, they get interested in the topic, they get interested in the subject, they research it, and that's how it doesn't age. So that's really important to us. And, the Yacht Club where we're at now, They supported us I've been here for 14 years and they've been doing a lot longer than this, so it's quite the tradition. And to your previous question, Franklin, about how it's been during COVID. This is sort of what's been lost. We haven't really been able to do the fun stuff apart from the important thing, and one's just as significant as the other, I think. So, you know, it's been a lovely day. It's the weather was spectacular. We thought we were going to get wet, and it's been not a cloud in the sky. So we've been very lucky, and everyone's having a good time. And the Federation Guard flew up from Australia. The Chief of Air Force was here. It was a really good morning, and you know, we thank you for your support.
And that was Brian Waring, the Vice President of the Port Moresby Returned and Services League of Australia sub-branch. We will now take a short break. On the other side, we join the 107th Anzac Day Commemorative Dawn Service held up at the Bomana War Cemetery. Stay tuned.
This pillar and one pillar big pillar talk survey igolongol man Mary. CKSF ikalap igolongol nara pillar peles Long Highlands na emken kilimol peak bilong yumi suppose yumi no walking one pillar something now. Nokin karim peak long one pillar hap igolong nara pillar. Nokin karim peak meet long walkabout bilong you na bani sim all peak bilong you. Puti malong all peak na ringim nakia long 1801332 o talk survey long all walkman long plus bilong you suppose peaky sick o indai.
Tokorai tikam na National Agriculture Quarantine and Inspection Authority.
Hi, my name is Loa Dikatoa. I do weightlifting as the sport. It takes me around the world and it has given me a name. Once the pandemic hit, our institute had to shut down and we all had to return back home. The training wasn't the same. We have family obligations in a village set up as such. I had to get my vaccination because I didn't want to die. I had to get that in order to continue what I do and to protect my family. I know and I believe that I have been protected. My advice to everyone is always wear masks, and COVID-19 and Delta is around. COVID-19 and Big Pla heavy. Kissing vaccine, Nabayumi strong.
On the morning of the 25th of April 1915, Australian and New Zealand troops landed under fire on Gallipoli. It was then, and in the battles which followed, that the Anzac tradition was formed.
As early as 4 a.m., over 1,000 people flock into the Bomana War Cemetery to join in the 107th Anzac Day Commemorative Dawn Service. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, the past 2 years saw the Dawn Service at Bomana held privately. Defence senior leaders and personnel were part of Anzac Day ceremonies in Australia and around the world. Chief of Air Force Air Marshal Mel Apfeld attended the Anzac Day Bomana Dawn Service. As the sun rose over the Koyari land, the gathered reflected on the courage and sacrifice of past and present servicemen and servicewomen engaged in military activity in protecting their country and the people they love. Delivering the Anzac Day address at this year's ceremony was New Zealand High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea, His Excellency Philip Taula.
Both yours and ours, we lament them and farewell them. To all of us, the living greetings. His Excellency Grand Chief, Governor General Sir Bob Dadai and Lady Emmeline, Australian High Commissioner, His Excellency John Philp, Chief of the Defence Force, Major General Mark Goyner, Commissioner David Manning, Chief of the Royal Australian Air Force, Air Marshal Mel Hupfield, Brian Waring, our MC and RSL Vice President, diplomatic and defence colleagues, veterans, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family. We welcome you this morning not to celebrate victory, but to remember the more than 130,000 Australians and New Zealanders who have died in the service of our countries, and the many more who have been wounded. As we watch the sunrise this morning, there have been and will be many Anzac Dawn services across New Zealand, Australia, Papua New Guinea, and around the world. As a young person traveling Europe 30 years ago, I attended the Anzac Dawn service at Gallipoli. Before that, as a student, I'd read many books about Gallipoli and the Anzacs and the battles they experienced. I climbed the hills around Anzac Cove that morning, including through Lone Pine and up to the highest point, Chunukbir. It was very moving to see the land, to walk where the Anzacs had walked, and to see the graves and so many headstones naming Australians, New Zealanders, and other soldiers who had fallen. I was 22, and it was striking to see how young those soldiers were. Many were only 18 or 19 years old, in some cases even younger. People who had given their lives halfway around the world and who never made it home to their loved ones. It is often said that because of Gallipoli, Australia and New Zealand became nations. The 25th of April 1915 will forever be part of what it means to be a New Zealander or an Australian. For each of us, Anzac is part of our national identity. It's not only about Gallipoli. We will not forget the sacrifices in other wars, whether in the Western Front, Korea, Vietnam, Malaya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, the Middle East, Timor-Leste, or elsewhere in the Pacific. We also note that this year marks the 80th anniversary commemorating the Gokoda campaign. We acknowledge this is a particularly important anniversary for Australia and for what we in New Zealand call the Tangata Whenua, or the people of this land, the Papua New Guineans. We stand together with our brothers and sisters from Australia and Papua New Guinea to remember those who fought and died in that campaign. In recent weeks, we in our peaceful countries have had the brutal reality of war brought home to us by the shocking images in Ukraine. This Anzac Day, we should not shy away from recognizing that there are those in the world who are prepared to use violence in its most extreme forms in an effort to achieve their ends. Together with all of you present today, we remember those who continue to endure great suffering and face terrible danger in order to defend their own free lands. In closing, we also think about our fellow countrymen and women who right now are serving us proudly around the world. We express our shared and heartfelt desire that all men and women deployed can return home safely. We give thanks to all who have served their countries so that we might live in peace. And we will indeed remember that for our tomorrow, they gave their today. Nō reira, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
The Anzac Day address delivered by the New Zealand High Commissioner to Papua New Guinea. This year also marks the 80th anniversary of the Kokoda campaign. Since the Kokoda campaign and up until today, the bond between Papua New Guinea and Australia continues to be strengthened through community-focused programs and other initiatives aimed at preserving this iconic track. After the break, we hear from Australia's Kokoda Initiative program and its work with the Kokoda Track Authority and National Museum and Art Gallery.
Hello, name me Alvin Komolong. I miss a play lo PNG men soccer team couples. Miss a pilai soccer because me legally get coming up now me pilai na I'm sa bringing me amamas lo pilai na scoring goal na lo play lo country ken I'm sa driving me ken lo work hard lo pilai na happy name lo PNG. Now one time COVID I'm stopping planting man lo come watch him game. Crowds no stop him. I'm a must play game and drop league. What all crowds can make him and go on a kissing suit. Vaccine experience blow me and me been kissing AstraZeneca. First shot blow me and me peel him down league lo first 2 days. Second shot blow me and me peel him alright together. Long halivi miplo soccer mangi na protecting family lo yumi inside lo soccer stadium mipa nidi miplo man meri lo go na kisim su. Yumi kikim rausim COVID-19. Go na kisim vaccine. Stop strong.
The Australia and PNG partnership is highly valued here in PNG.
As the largest donor to the PNG health sector, Australia's support focuses on improving health security and maternal and child health outcomes, and overall helps with PNG's national health plan.
These are some of the benefits of getting a scholarship and coming back and thinking outside of your normal thinking.
Being an Australia alumni awardee, it is to contribute to PNG's development whilst maintaining connection with Australia. We also need to look within and embrace what is the wealth within in PNG.
This phase of exploration, ideas and explosion of thought and creativity, we just need to continue encouraging it.
PNG is a country and economy of such great potential. You know, one of the fastest growing populations, but we've also got a very, very young population.
Supporting women and girls to participate fully in political, economic and social life is important for both Australia and Papua New Guinea.
Rugby league is a huge part of building that relationship between Australia and Papua New Guinea. When the Australians travel into Papua New Guinea, you just see how much excitement is in the people's eyes.
We have to interact with other cultures, we have to build relationships with other countries.
These partnerships help grow industries where you will have impact, you will have sustainability.
We have always been stronger together, and the COVID-19 pandemic is no different. We are working together to respond to the COVID-19 crisis in PNG. We will continue to support testing and surveillance and continue to work with the PNG government to help mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Access to safe and effective COVID-19 vaccines will help us prevent illness and deaths and support economic recovery from the effects of the pandemic. We are neighbors, we are partners in health and so many other areas. We have a long history of being there for each other in tough times.
Australia will continue to stand with PNG as PNG stands with us.
Welcome back to AHC On Air. The Kokoda Track region holds great historic significance for Papua New Guinea and Australia. The ongoing support of the Papua New Guinea-Australia Partnership through the Kokoda Initiative Program promotes the sustainable and inclusive development in the Kokoda Track region and protects its unique environmental, cultural and military heritage. We are now joined by Patrick McCloskey, Team Leader, Kokoda Initiative Program. Thank you, Patrick, for joining us. Can you tell us how the Kokoda Initiative is supporting the National Museum and Art Gallery in preserving and managing the military heritage along the Kokoda Track?
The Kokoda Initiative is a partnership pulling together the various Papua New Guinean agencies and the Australian High Commission to cooperate on keeping the Kokoda Track open and safe and protecting the military heritage and the environmental diversity of the area. As part of the partnership, the NMAG receives crucial support from other PNG agencies, provincial and local governments, and also the Australian High Commission, both in terms of funding for military heritage projects and operational coordination.
In 2018, the National Museum launched a military heritage management plan for the Kokoda Track and surrounding areas. Can you tell us what is the focus of this plan?
The NMAG's plan is a very broad policy document with principles and long-term goals laid out across five management elements, including knowledge, preservation, interpretation, education, commemoration and promotion. But the vision of the statement of the plan puts the main focus in a nutshell, that the military heritage of the Kokoda Track remains safe, authentic and accessible for residents and visitors for generations to come. This heritage lies at the heart of the shared wartime histories of Papua New Guinea and Australia.
Importantly, the plan acknowledges the central role of two key stakeholder groups, the local communities and the trekking and tourism industry. The local communities are the custodians of the physical heritage of the Kokoda campaign and the carriers of memories that make up a priceless oral history that is still being recorded. The tour operators bring international visitors to these local communities and significant income to their residents and help keep the actual Kokoda story alive.
Between 2019 and 2020, the National Museum built three community museums across the track to house unearthed war remains. Are there any plans to build more of these?
The community museums and trade houses are at three locations, in Mount Koyari at Ifoghi, on the northern side of the track in Alola, and on the northern beaches in Boona were built. These communities were built with the assistance of local communities by the NMAG and also the Kokoda Initiative. They were built to provide a secure setting for the local artefact collections along the track with convenient access for trekkers to view those collections. The NMAG helped out with the artefact labels and other interpretive materials. And adjacent to each of the museums is an open-air trade house, which is intended as a sheltered place for community members to sell local crafts and produce and refreshments to the trekkers as they come through their villages. But these spaces have also become really useful venues for community meetings and events. While there are no immediate plans to build more community museums, the KI and NMAG will continue to work to protect the sites and the artefacts along the track in ways that are suitable to each location with each of the landowners and their groups.
Another key partner agency of the Kokoda Initiative is the Kokoda Track Authority. Patrick, can you tell us more about the current community-based programs that the initiative and the Track Authority are working on?
With the KTA and the KI, there's a range of different programs. There's work that we're doing on track maintenance, also support for ranger stations, the construction of ranger stations, and the inaugural ranger capacity development project are three of the main areas that we're currently supporting the KTA. Post-COVID, the Kokoda Track has opened again for the first time in 2 years after international tourism was suspended here in PNG. The track was opened in early March to take on tourists, and it's been a really big relief for local communities. So lots of people on the track for the last 2 years have had no incomes, and they've been very excited and welcoming of the first trekking groups that have gone through. There's been over 30 Australian trekkers that have joined recently, and the commentary from all the villagers and the leaders along the track is that they're very happy to have the Australian tourists back in their communities, and we're hoping that this is the start of more tourists coming back to the famous Kokoda Track and being a part of providing important economic opportunities for those communities. As part of the work that we're doing with the rangers, as part of the ranger program, there's a range of different track maintenance and conservation activities that are being conducted along the track. So currently the KTA has some plans to build up to 8 footbridges along different wet crossings along the track. And the locations have been identified and works have been completed in 2 of the main flooding areas, which were very, very difficult to pass before the start of the season this year. And the remaining footbridges will continue throughout 2022. Delivered by the rangers as part of their ranger capacity development program this year. In addition to the track maintenance works, there's also been some important construction work at the ranger station. So there's a new three-bedroom house at Kokoda that's been built as part of the KTA ranger station there. There's been an upgrade of the KTA ranger station in Kokoda and also an upgrade of the Owers Corner ranger station with plans to build a three-bedroom house there at Owers Corner for the senior ranger. In addition to the construction on the ranger stations, there's also been a very significant water security project that has been delivered by the KI in partnership with the KTA and the Oro and provincial governments. Now, over 36 water security structures have been constructed in Kokoda catchment region villages, 18 on the central side and 18 on the northern side. And over 750,000 kina was contributed by the PNG government through the KTA and through the Oro and central provincial governments to support these projects, and the Australian government supported in the logistics and delivery of those. Now, each of the structures provides an additional 18,000 litres of waters to each of the communities, and through the consultation project process, the landowners and leaders in each community identified a central location for each one of the water security structures. And to decrease the time and the burden for local people in carrying water, so while there are many rivers and streams close to communities, there hasn't been a decent supply of safe drinking water close to communities. So since the program, we've heard a lot of positive feedback from all the communities that it was important during COVID to have accessible clean water, and the whole program was facilitated in a way that COVID awareness and education was delivered to communities, and the KTO Rangers played a big part of that process as well. So the next stage of the Ranger Capacity Development Program through 2022 and into 2023 is to increase the number of well-trained rangers. So the KTA Ranger cohort has grown from 6 rangers to 19 rangers. And the advanced training, which commences in 2022, will mean that there are more well-trained rangers across the entire track. So the rangers have been recruited from the Sigiri region, from Mount Koyari, and also from Kokoda and Boona, and they are being trained in a range of competencies to improve the management of the Kokoda track. So from basic track maintenance activities like benching and drainage and building of staircases and those sorts of things, to also working with campsites and guest houses on their accreditation standards and their amenities, and supporting the NMAG in relation to work on the preservation of the military heritage on the track, at the weapons caches and the museums. And they will also be supporting SEPA and TPA in any activities that they need to conduct in the region, and they'll play a very important role in terms of supporting all the KI agencies in all of their activities that they need to deliver along the entire Kokoda track.
Thank you. That was Patrick McCloskey, Team Leader, Kokoda Initiative Program. And that concludes this month's AHC On Air program. If you would like to hear past episodes of the program, check out the Australian High Commission Facebook page for links to our podcast. Until next time, I'm Greg Avira. It's bye for now.
Australia is here, we'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG and health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim Sindown, Australia and PNG.